Welcome, and thank you for listening to Grace Heritage Church Audio, Building a Household of Faith on a Foundation of Grace. Visit us online at graceheritage.org. Please stay tuned after the message for more information.
Welcome to Grace Heritage Church. Let me say thanks to folks who have labored to get here on time, and I want to encourage you to continue in your good example, all right? I'm glad to be able to worship together on the Lord's Day with you. And let me ask you to just continue to pray for our family as we get moved into a different house. Lord willing, we will get a truck in the morning and do all the heavy lifting tomorrow and get transferred over to a different spot. And then next week, my mom and my sister will arrive. And so we're about to get into the real teeth of this great adventure. So all the logistical stuff will be done. And if you're, some of you have said, when can we come and help? So I think tomorrow, if you want to come and lift and haul and carry some, we'll be able to start doing that at about 9 o'clock, Lord willing. So that's the goal for tomorrow. If you're interested in doing that on Labor Day, you can labor together with us. If you're a guest, we want to say welcome. Thank you for being here. It's good to have you. And there are some cards in the seat back pockets that you could fill out and let us know that you're here. And also, if you're a regular attender or member and you need to communicate with the elders or the officers about something, or if you just want us to pray for you, that's a good way to communicate that to us. And so I invite you to place that card in the offering plate when it's passed a little bit later this morning. And then we'll be praying for you on Wednesday morning and through the week. And if you have a particular need, we will, the Lord being our helper, we will try to meet that need. Okay, if you'll just let us know about that. Regular meeting this evening at 6 o'clock, so we'll come back together to worship and pray together. And so I invite you to be a part of that, encourage you to. And then also, you may have noticed an email that we sort of put on in a hurry this week, an extra meeting. As we're thinking through some of these things on the confession, some of you may want to try to drill a little deeper down into some of those issues and questions. And so we'll try to provide some extra meetings for that. They did one yesterday morning here at 8 o'clock. And so spent some time just thinking more about the scriptures and wrestling with some of the knotty questions that come up about that. And we'll try to make some of those available in the days to come for other things that might be of an interest to you, okay? So those are the primary announcements and things I wanted to remind you about. And today we also share around the table in communion. And so if you are a baptized believer in a right relationship with your church, we invite you to participate in that and to profess your faith in Christ by that participation. Let's see, we're trying to make sure I didn't make a list this morning, so I want to make sure I don't pass over anything of great importance. But the most important thing that we're doing today is to worship the Lord together. And you'll find a text from Psalm 66 on the front of your worship bulletin. I invite you to stand together with me and let's read through that text together. Would you join me as we hear this call to worship the Lord? Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Give to Him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of His praise be heard, who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you for my soul. So that is the invitation to you this morning, to come and praise the Lord together. Come praise and glorify our God, the Father of our Lord. In Christ He has in heavenly realms His blessings on us poor. For pure and blameless in His sight, He destined us to be. And now
we've been adopted through His Son eternally. To the praise of Your glory, grace. To the praise of Your glory, You are the God who saves. Come praise and glorify our God, who gives His grace in Christ. In Him our sins are washed away, redeemed through sacrifice. In Him God has made known to us the mystery of His will, that Christ should be the head of all His purpose to fulfill. To the praise of Your glory, to the praise of Your mercy and grace, to the praise of Your glory, You are the God who saves. And glorify our God, for we believe the word, and through our faith we have a seal, the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit guarantees our hope until redemption's done, until we join in endless praise to God, the three in one. To the praise of Your glory, to the praise of Your mercy and grace, to the praise of Your glory, You are the God who saves.
Amen. Would you join me as we pray together, please? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come before You this morning to echo back to You praise and worship and glory that You alone are due. You are alone the God who saves. You are the God who has provided for us through the work of Your Son. You are God who has sent Your Holy Spirit to bring us to life, to call us to Christ, to keep us in Christ until the day that we indeed, as Your church gathered from around the globe, gather to worship You, our great God, three in one. And so this day, as we have gathered here to express that foretaste of heaven, that foretaste of being redeemed together for all eternity and perfected in Christ, we pray that You will do Your work in us, that You will meet with us, that You will transform us, that You will shape our hearts to worship You and to give You glory, that You will rescue us from the idols that would tend to hijack our hearts, that You would keep us by Your grace and the power of Your Holy Spirit through Your word for Yourself. We ask for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Tom tells me that some of you are trying to sing from last week's bulletin. So if you're not working, okay, join me as we sing together, all right? Jesus, draw me ever nearer. As I labor through the storm, You have called me to this passage, and I'll follow though I'm worn. May this journey bring a blessing. May I rise on wings of faith.
end of my heart's testing. With your likeness, let me wait. Jesus, guide me through the tempest. Keep my spirit stayed and sure. When the midnight meets the morning, let me love you even more. May this journey bring a blessing. May I rise on wings of faith, and at the end of my heart's testing, with your likeness, let me wait. Let the treasures of the trial form within me as I go, and at the end of this long passage, let me leave them at your throne. May this journey bring a blessing. May I rise on wings of faith, and at the end of my heart's testing, with your likeness, let me wait.
Please be seated. Would you remember the purposeful work of God, God who is three in one God expressed in three persons, so that our salvation might be effected, real. Do you remember those things together with me by voicing this prayer to God who is three in one? Heavenly Father, blessed Son, eternal Spirit, I worship you as one being, one essence, one God in three distinct persons, for bringing sinners to your knowledge and to your kingdom. O Father, you have loved me and sent Jesus to redeem me. O Jesus, you have loved me and assumed my nature, shed your own blood to wash away my sins, given me your perfect righteousness. Holy Spirit, you have loved me and entered my heart, implanted there eternal life, revealed to me the glories of Jesus. Three persons and one God, I bless and praise you for love so unearned, so unspeakable, so wondrous, so mighty to save the lost and raise them to glory. Would you take a moment in quietness to let that prayer help you to reflect on the goodness of God, the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Thank Him for His saving mercies. Or ask Him, if these things sound foreign to you and don't make sense to you, ask Him to help you to understand the beauties of God who has saved His people. Let's take a moment just to meditate on that just before we sing. You stand with me, you know.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost the way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost the way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give our healing and grace. Our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger. Almighty infinite Father, faithfully loving your own, here in our weakness you find us falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give our healing and grace. Our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for.
Morning. We continue our scripture reading in Genesis. If you would turn there to Genesis chapter 8. It's on page 6 in the Bibles under your seats. We sometimes call those pew Bibles, but we don't have any pews, so they're under your seat Bibles, I guess. We've been reading through Genesis, and we've last Sunday read about Noah and some of the things that were going on, of course, in his life. And I just want to remind you as we read about Noah that you find references to Noah in the New Testament as well. Jesus talks about Noah in Matthew. Peter in his letter to the churches in northern Turkey talks about Noah. So as you read this, just remember that at least a couple of people we have a lot of respect for refer to Noah as well. Reading in chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8. But God remembered Noah and all the beast and all the livestock that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind blow over the earth, and the waters subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were closed. The rain from the heavens was restrained. And the waters receded from the earth continually. At the end of 150 days, the waters had abated. And in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. And the waters continued to abate until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. At the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark that he had made and sent forth a raven. It went to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. Then he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters had subsided from the face of the ground. But the dove found no place to set her foot, and she returned to him to the ark, for the waters were still on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and brought her into the ark with him. He waited another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came back to him in the evening, and behold, in her mouth was a freshly plucked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. Then he waited another 7 days and sent forth the dove, and she did not return to him anymore. In the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked. The face of the ground was dry. In the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth had dried out. Then God said to Noah, "Go out from the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing that is with you of all flesh, birds and animals, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, that they may swarm on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth." So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, every bird, everything that moves on the earth went out by families from the ark. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, "I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. If you'll turn with me to page 11. There are prayer requests there, and I will voice our prayers. And if you would just join me in praying. I would like to thank some of you for praying for my aunt, who's been very ill the last week or so, and she passed away yesterday, went on to be with the Lord. So Brenda and I will be going over to Mississippi for her funeral sometime early this week. But thank you for your prayers. She was a sweet, dear lady who loved the Lord and showed it in her life. So it's a blessing for her to be with the Lord this day. Let's pray together. Father God, we do praise you and thank you. Father, we are mindful that you are sovereign and you control all things. And yet, Father, you give us responsibility as believers. And that's a hard concept to grasp. It seems to be inscrutable, yet you give us freedom to choose between good and evil, as did Adam and Eve, and yet you're sovereign. And you control all things. And we thank you for bringing us here this morning. We thank you that in our freedom we chose to come and worship you this day and that you have promised to meet with us. And we praise and thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. Father, we offer our lives to you in sacrifice this day, and ask that you would bless us and in turn glorify yourself through us. Help us to be ministers of your gospel in whatever ways we can, both today and through this next week. Father, we thank you for missionaries who are dedicated to really spending their lives, literally exhausting their lives in service to you. This morning we pray for Jeff Thomas and his family in Guatemala. They've had a change in government recently and leaders, and we just pray that you would, again, being the sovereign God that you are, we pray that you would work through that to bring more Guatemalans to you and to bring them into your family. I pray that you'd be with Jeff and his family as they continue to support and encourage churches. Two new churches have been planted in their area, and I pray for physical strength for Jeff and for a commitment, a recommitment of him to this ministry that he's been so faithful to all these years. Father, we do lift up the ministry of Christ in this community, and as we often pray for churches in our area, this morning we pray for Lakeview Baptist Church and pray for Pastor Al Jackson. I pray that you will be glorifying yourself there this morning. I pray for Pastor Al as he preaches, as he brings the word to his flock and congregation there at Lakeview. Father, we do pray not only for Jeff, but for other missionaries that have been sent out and are supported by our mission board. And Lord, we do pray for the new president of the International Mission Board, David Platt. We pray that millions and millions of dollars that are needed to support Southern Baptist missionaries around the world, that you will continue to impress on our hearts the support that they need from us, not only financially, but with our prayers and as opportunities arise with our lives. Father, we do pray this morning that you would call missionaries out of our fellowship, that people would go either here in the States or other places around the world to share the gospel of Christ with those who have never heard the message. Father, we pray for those, especially in the Mideast, and just ask that you would continue to minister your grace to them. They are under tremendous pressure. Often even their lives, or at least the lives of those that they're trying to minister to, are threatened on a daily basis. We pray for your protection. Lord, we do pray for our civil leaders. This morning we lift up U.S. Representative Mike Rogers. We ask that you would give him wisdom as he makes decisions for all of us here in Alabama. Just guide him by your Holy Spirit. Make him sensitive and wise in the decisions that he does make. And Lord, we thank you for our civil government and for the peace and protection that it provides us. You have established this type of authority over us, and we thank you this morning that not only does our city provide a set of rules and regulations for us to follow as we live here in this city, but you provide protection for us. And this morning we especially pray for the police officers and others who serve us, and particularly we certainly pray for our own policeman, Brandon Elliott, and we pray for Chief Paul Register, that you would give them wisdom as they serve, protect them, and we thank you for the service that they continue to provide us. Father, we have a list of people with birthdays, and these just aren't just names, but they're individuals that we love and thank you for. And so this morning I pray for these on the list. I pray that their birthday this particular month will be a special one, or has been. And Father, we thank you for brothers and sisters to love us and give us an opportunity to love them and minister to them. Father, I pray this morning for Brandon as he leads us in our Bible study on the Trinity. Pray that you would teach us by your Holy Spirit and show us what you'd have us learn afresh and anew this morning. Be with Pastor Paul as he brings your word to us. Thank you for a man of God who is bold and preparing and delivering your word. I pray that you'd give him courage and strength, clarity of thought, and the power of the Holy Spirit as he preaches to us. And Father, we pray all these things in the powerful, precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
I ask you to stand together with me. And guys, this is one we have not sung this song in a long time. Men will lead out and the ladies will echo after them together on this. Okay, so guys, you help me get started.
We believe in God the Father. We believe in Christ the Son. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We are the church and we stand as one. Holy, holy, holy is our God. Worthy, worthy, worthy is our King. All glory and honor are His to receive. To Jesus we sing because we believe. We believe in the Holy Bible. We believe in the virgin birth. We believe in the resurrection, that Christ one day will return to earth.
Holy, holy.
Holy, holy, holy is our God. Worthy, worthy, worthy is our King. All glory and honor are His to receive. To Jesus we sing because we believe. We believe in the blood of Jesus. We believe in eternal life. We believe in the blood that frees us to become the bride of Christ. Holy, holy, holy is our God. Worthy, worthy, Worthy is our King. All glory and honor are His to receive. To Jesus we sing, because we believe.
Please be seated, would you? Take your Bibles, if you will, please, and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I hope that you have picked up on the theme of God, who is one God and yet who is exists in three real and distinct persons. And I've recorded for you a bit of the statement of the Confession of Faith regarding God and His existence and as the Trinity. And a particularly important line in that is that this truth of the Trinity is the foundation of all of our fellowship with God and of our comforting dependence on Him. And so as we're thinking about that through the morning together today, we want to ask God to help us fresh and anew, I think particularly recognize how do we live as functional atheists sometimes. Now, I don't think that anyone in the room would say that they do not believe in God who exists in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. I don't think anyone in the room would deny the reality of the Trinity. I think if pressed, maybe someone might say that they don't understand that, might be honest. I don't fully understand the Trinity. So my goal is not to convince you of those things necessarily. My goal is to challenge us to think again about ways in which we might live functionally sometimes as atheists. We live with many false gods. We embrace idols. We carve them in our thinking, the way that we think about God, the way that we relate to Him, the way that we live our lives. We live as though our dependence is not, or that our comfort is not dependent on Him. And so we want to wrestle through some of these things and lay a bunch of foundational truths. For instance, that the Lord our God is one, but that He is also, He lives, He's expressed in three persons, and we want to ask the question of each of those things. So why should I care? Why I believe that, so what? Right? We want to wrestle with those things. And I want to challenge you to think about this. If I think falsely about God, and that is my natural tendency, and you can put other words in there, if I don't think precisely about God, if I don't think accurately about Him, if I don't think about Him in the way that He's revealed in the Scriptures, and that is our natural tendency, then I have no real basis for finding comfort in Him. So it's important for us to think rightly about God, the way He's revealed in the Scriptures, so that we can have a real source, a real basis for comfort and hope. Some of you may be sitting here with a false sense of comfort and hope in a God who doesn't even exist. You've carved Him up in your own mind and your own thinking, but that is not the God of the Bible. And I want you to understand that maybe you'll understand today for the very first time that you don't even have a relationship with the God of the Bible, and that is your only hope. So let's begin in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 6, and I hope that you've been able to find that there. Beginning in verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words I command you today shall be on your heart." This is the Word of God, and it is the oft-repeated Word of God, in fact, repeated morning and evening by Jews for centuries, and written on little pieces of paper or parchment or something and placed in a little box called a phylactery and strapped to their forehead like this so that they wore it around with them all the time. It was inscribed on their on plates that went on their, the entrance to their homes, the gates of their property. Every place they put this reminder, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one." It was a reminder to them that they had been brought into relationship with the one true God. And so perhaps that might be the most important thing you do all morning. Would you contemplate for a moment the blessed privilege of believing that there is but one true God? Do you understand and realize that there are people all over Auburn and Lee County this morning who do not think that there is only one God, or who are convinced that they are worshiping the true God, but they're not? And there are people all over the world who believe that there are hundreds and even thousands of gods, and that all of them are worthy and due some kind of allegiance and obedience, and that they look to those various gods for the things that they feel like they need this week. What is the difference between you and them? Is it because you're that much brighter than them? Are you that much more intelligent that you could figure out that there is but one true God? No. No. And so contemplate for just a moment that God has made every one of us worshipers, and the only reason that we worship the one true God rightly in any sense this morning is the kindness and the mercy of God. What matchless condescension. God has bowed down to us and opened our eyes so that we could see glimpses of the truth. What boundless love, what steadfast patience, what unmeasured mercy God has shown to reveal Himself and to make Himself known. We learned last week that He's made Himself known enough to make us without excuse just in the creation. God did not have to speak beyond the creation for you to be without an excuse. And so what mercy that He's gone on to speak in His Word and reveal Himself, and then by His Holy Spirit to give you eyes and understanding to see you are not that much brighter. Now, intellectually, you're probably brighter. I know you're brighter than I am. You're brighter than a lot of other people in the world, but you are not so bright as to be able to sort this out apart from His kindness. Can you try to wrap your mind around that for a moment? And in the busyness of all that we do, can you stop for a minute and give praise to God who would allow you to see Him? And contemplate for a moment the end of those who do not see and who do not know the one true God. This worship of one true God is throughout all the Old Testament. It's from beginning to end. One place in particular, after God delivered His people from slavery in Egypt, God gave them the law that proclaimed that He alone was God. If you look into Exodus chapter 20, I'm not going to ask you to turn there, but verses 3 and 4, remember that after God has delivered them, after He has set them free, then He says to them, "You shall have no other gods before Me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth." He was the one that they were to worship exclusively. Daniel risked praying to this one true God. His friends refused to bow down to the false gods that Nebuchadnezzar constructed and called people to bow to. All through the Old Testament, you'll see that. And in particular, one place that I'd like for you to be aware of is in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. As God is declaring to him, to His people, the foolishness. And remember, He's talking to His people. He's talking to Israel. Declaring to them the foolishness of going after false gods. And I put into your notes there that it's better to have one true fountain than to have 1,000 leaky water tanks. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, God says, "This is what I have against you, for My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken Me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water." And what He's talking about there is that the practice was to carve out of rock places that would hold water. But then you had to carry the water to them and fill them up and store water in those hewed out cisterns or water places in the rock. And then sometimes over a period of time they would break or crack or something would happen, the heat and cold shifting of the earth and all those things, they would break. And so they would no longer hold water. And so God is saying that just like the person who hauls water from who knows wherever they were getting their water, to haul the water to a cistern in the ground that was broken and wouldn't even hold it, and then they're pouring the water into this, that's the foolishness. It's of going after these false idols when they could come to God who is the one fountain. And the picture there, the fountain of someone pouring out water, just pouring, flowing out. Did you see how insane that is? And I don't think anybody in the room has a problem with going, that's just stupid. It's not ignorant. It's just plain stupid to do that kind of thing. And we do it every time we let our hearts be hijacked by a false idol, a false god. There is but one God worthy of our heart and our worship and our service and our obedience and our trust. And I keep harping on this because the threat against your spiritual well-being is real. And the greatest threat to your spiritual good tomorrow is not that Muslims probably are going to come and attack you. The greatest threat to your spiritual well-being tomorrow is not even that, quote, same-sex, quote, marriage has been made legal in the country. The greatest threat to your spiritual well-being tomorrow is that your idols will raise up their heads and capture your attention and your heart. The idols that you have carved out of your own heart. They'll try to hijack you and carry your heart away. And it's one thing to be preparing ourselves against the persecution and the difficulty and the idolatry that other people are wrestling with. But I think Satan's greatest trap is for you to not even be aware of your own. And so, God is calling you today to realize, where do you give your heart? To whom or to what do you regularly give your heart for comfort and provision and satisfaction? And you say, well, I don't know. I don't know what might be my idols. The best test that I know is that when something around you is materially, possessions, status, job, any of those kinds of things, temporal things, when any of those things are threatened and that causes you to be of great anxiety, when those things are threatened to be taken away from you, that, I would submit, is challenging for the loyalty and the love of your heart. And it takes some discernment to wrestle through that. I'm not saying that it wouldn't cause me anxiety for somebody to steal my car. You know, that would be very uncomfortable and unhappy and difficult. But I want to give you an example that happened as recently as yesterday and how I can start to let my heart think that my schedule and the things that I want to happen in a day can begin to become the very God of my life. Because yesterday I took Daniel to get a haircut, and I was very clever because I dropped him off at the haircut place. It's one of those places where you can just walk in and sign up and get a haircut. And as I drove up and dropped him off, there was nobody sitting in the little chairs. And so I'm going, cool, 20 minutes, he's cut and done. And I'm going to go to Ace Hardware to get some stuff that I need to fix some toilets and to pack up some junk. And so I am like multitasking. Oh, I am the man. And when I come back, Daniel, he's still sitting there in the chair with his hair. You know? And I say, what's up? And I notice a man and his son are over there, and I'm going, oh, well, maybe they had to cut both of them, and so that's cool. He's almost through with the little boy. She's drying his hair and putting gel in it and stuff, and I'm doing way too long on this story. Anyway, then another woman walks in, and in my mind, it's time for Daniel to go. And a woman walks in, and the lady comes over and says, I'm sorry, I'm going to take her first, and I should be able to get to him in 20 or 25 minutes. And if the other lady that's supposed to be here comes in, she could do it. You know, so it's kind of like, you're wrecking my life! And I was angry and frustrated and irritated with her, and I threw Daniel in the car. We drove home, and then I drove him back. And, you know, the long story again, it's not preaching. But it was such a picture to me later as I'm thinking about it of how my schedule can become my God. Convenience to me. Guys, we've got to realize how subtle this is. And we think it's stuff that this is, I'm justified at loving this or wanting this or demanding this. We're not. What's just is death and hell, and everything else is grace. Okay? So recognize the subtlety, the way that the evil one will hijack your heart in various ways and cause you to worship at the foot of an idol. That's how subtle this can be. Now, why do I care? Why does this matter? You know, well, first of all, this means you have but one master to please. If there is but one God in the universe, then you have but one God to serve. And so today, I want you to take a big, huge, deep breath and relax, because you are not to serve your spouse or your boss or your school grades or your career or anything or anyone but God alone. Isn't that a great relief? You do not exist to serve or to please anyone but the Lord. Now, if you please the Lord, all those other things are going to be affected and impacted, right? But you are free as of this moment to stop thinking that you must please others or to live for their approval. It's not possible and it's not true. You are here on this earth to please the Lord God alone. He is the one God whom you are to serve. Now, some of you in this room will say with a lot of pride and certainty that you don't care what other people think. You're already free from that. That you don't care what people around you think. And I want you to understand this, and I put it in your notes. There's a difference between being so arrogant that you don't care what people think and being so in love with pleasing God that you're set free from trying to please people. You hear? There's a difference between being so arrogant that you don't care what anybody thinks and being so in love with pleasing God that you're set free from trying to make everybody around you happy. The difference between those two things, and I think that we need to discern and understand that. So you have only one God. Yeah, but one God to serve, one God to please, and that doesn't mean being fiercely independent. Being fiercely independent is actually being in slavery. But secondly, it means you have to only look for one person for your satisfaction. You only have one God to please, and you only have one place to go for your satisfaction. You can tend to think that you're constantly having to figure out how are you going to be taken care of and provided for. But God is God alone, and so He alone is God. What I mean by that is that He alone is the one who is the source, the spring from which your life flows. He is the one who in the beginning was God and everlasting before eternity past and before eternity or after eternity future. If you can try to imagine those infinite directions, God is. And so He is self-existent and self-satisfied. He didn't create you because He was needy. You're never going to go to God and look to Him to provide for you something that is right and He's going to go, "I'm sorry, I'm all out." He is the one from whom you draw your very life. He is the creator and the sustainer of all things. It is in Him that you live and move and have your being. He is eternally unchanging, and so you're not going to go to Him and one day be able to gain something from Him, and the next He's going to say, "No, I don't do that anymore." This is why God identified Himself to Moses. When Moses said to Him, "Who am I going to say sent me?" He says, "Tell them I am sent you." That's why Jesus says, "I am the living water. I am the bread of life. I am the one, if you will drink of me, you will never thirst again. I am the bread of life. I am the Alpha and the Omega. And everything that you need is bound up in who I am." The things around us that we make our gods and to which we look for our satisfaction, our security, our comfort, and those kinds of things cannot respond. They cannot help us. They cannot save us. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 18 and following communicate that. Psalm 135, it does so even more particularly. In verses 15 to 18, the text says, "The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths but do not speak. They have eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear, nor is there any breath in their mouths." Listen to this danger. Those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them. You will become just like the things around you that you worship. And so, the satisfaction, the hope that you long for, all the things that are necessary in this life are rooted up in God. And so we are to be daily, fiercely rooting out the things that we're looking to for our comfort and our satisfaction. Last, this morning, all our duty toward God is rooted in love. I'm going to ask you to turn to Nehemiah chapter 9 with me. You'll find Nehemiah over before Job. If you can get to Psalm and then go backward to the left into Job and Esther, and then Nehemiah is right before Esther. If you get to Ezra, you went too far. It's between Ezra and Esther. Nehemiah chapter 9, excuse me, and I'm not going to read this entire chapter, but I want to encourage you to read it sometime today. And the people of God are gathered and they're repenting because God has been so good to them and they have been so faithless to Him. And I want to just read this last section, beginning in verse 32. "Now therefore, our God, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love, let not all the hardship seem little to you that has come upon us, upon our kings, our princes, our priests, our prophets, our fathers, and all your people, since the time of the kings of Assyria until this day." See, he's recognizing that the punishment that has come as a result of their idolatry is right and just. And so they're repenting. They're saying, "We recognize that all this time you have been the God, the covenant-keeping God, the God who steadfastly loves us, and we have rebelled against you, and you have punished us to tell us to stop our rebellion. So you've been absolutely right in punishing us, and you've done it all out of your steadfast love, and that you're keeping your covenant with us." And so all this punishment has fallen because of us. He says in 33, "You've been righteous in all that's come upon us, for you have dealt faithfully, and we have acted wickedly." And part of what, if you look back through all this text in chapter 9, you'll hear the author keeps talking about the goodness of God toward His people and how that ought to have elicited faithfulness in return, but it didn't. And so today I'm not calling you to say, "So here's this tyrannical God who's going to crush you like a mole if you don't shape up." I'm saying, see how God has demonstrated His love for you in Christ Jesus, who has died for you even when you were still a sinner. See how God has demonstrated steadfast love toward you and faithfulness and mercy and kindness toward you. And let your response be to Him in love. Love God instead of your idols. Love God instead of your idols. Because He's the one who has loved you. Because He is the one who is worthy of your love. Now there is truth in that. If you do not respond to Him, this will be your end. He doesn't let Israel go in their disobedience, but punishes them. And the end of a consistent rebellion against God is to taste the wrath of God. Why today would you not respond to this God who has demonstrated love toward you in love to Him? This God who demands our obedience and faithfulness is God who is faithful to us. And I'm going to stop, and we'll pick up. That's the beauty of continuing right on with some of this in Bible study. So I'm going to stop because we're going to gather around the table. And I'd like for us to spend some time before we do that asking God to let us see where our tendency to worship false idols is. Where have we functionally lived as though He is not the one true God? Where have we lived as though He is not worthy of our worship alone? And for some of you in the room, that may mean that for the very first time today, you quit with your rebellion against Him and look to Him in repentance and faith to rescue you from death and hell. And for others, it just calls for a recognition that subtly there have been some things going on that you didn't even recognize as idolatry. So let me encourage you to spend some time asking God, how do I need to worship You aright? How do You need to be one true God in my heart? Let's do that for just a moment, and then we'll gather around the table. Father, until we are perfected in Christ and set free from our sin, this will ever be our battle. And so today we finish praising You for Your kindness to us in Christ. And we praise You for sending Your Holy Spirit who prompts us when our worship goes astray and our hearts are turned from You. We praise You and thank You for the conviction of the Spirit and His convicting work. And we go from this place today worshiping You again, O God, and realizing not that we're trying to earn something from You or to ascend to an acceptable level. You have made us acceptable in Christ. You have declared us to be righteous, and yet at the same time You have called us to put away the sin that so easily entangles us and to press after Christ, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. You have called us to be imitators of God and to put off the sin that has characterized us in the past and to put on the righteousness that characterizes Christ. That is our great joy and freedom and privilege today. And we pray that You would let Yourself be seen as so perfect and lovely and desirable that all these other things would pale in comparison. We ask for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. A part of the reality of the Trinity is that Christianity does not exist apart from the doctrine of the Trinity, because God the Father sent God the Son to give His life, and God the Holy Spirit applies these things to our hearts. And as we take the bread and the fruit of the vine, it reminds us of that God in the flesh sacrificed Himself for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. And so, men, come and help me if you will, please. And we want to distribute these things now and invite you to participate. And by doing so, to express your faith in Christ. And this reminds us that as real as the bread is, as real as the nourishment that bread gives our physical bodies, so real as the provision of Christ, whose body was broken for us so that we might be set free from the penalty of sin, and so that we might be also provided the righteousness of Christ. And so as often as we do this, we remember what Christ has done for us. Lord God, how seriously are we to take these commands that there is but one God and one God who is alone worthy of worship, that we are not to have false idols, that we are not to give our hearts to another. How seriously are we to take that? So seriously that it required the death of Christ, the sinless Lamb of God, slain from before the foundation of the earth, and in real death given for us. And so we, in taking these things, proclaim our hope in the death and burial and resurrection of Christ until He comes for us. Amen. Thank you. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the cup, he blessed it, and he said to his disciples, "This is my blood in the new covenant." And as he told them of the provision that he would make for them, we now take trusting in the provision of Christ alone to make us right with God, the only one that whose pleasure we seek. And so we do this in remembrance of Christ, proclaiming his death until he comes. Father, again, we thank you for your good provision for us in Christ. And we thank you for opening our eyes to let us see these things. We praise you and thank you for your kindness and drawing us to yourself. And pray that you will grant to us mercy this week to not be led astray by our idols. Expose them even more so that we might run away from them and to you, so that we might hope in none other but you. And that by looking to you, we can be faithful in all that's before us this week. We ask for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Place these little cups in the little holders in the seats before you and stand together with me, would you please? And we'll sing together of the love of Christ for us.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. The Father turns his face away as weeps for the chosen one. Bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gift, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. What should I gain from his reward? I cannot live an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you as you're going this day. We will gather at 11:15 to continue in thinking about God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Encouraging to one another as you have a time of fellowship together, all right? God bless you.